Show with Luke Bradnam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Heyo everybody, thank you for joining us on The Catch-Up. Luke Bradnam and Jay Jones, our special guest co-host this afternoon for the Rush Hour. How are you doing, Jade? All good?
Yes, I'm very well, thanks, mate.
I had an interesting start to the day. I went running this morning with my running group, and then...
Hold on just a second. A little part of me dies every time I hear you say that.
Why?
Because I know that I rolled out of bed, ate Cocoa Pops, didn't do much else. There's no activity before.
Did you seriously have Cocoa Pops for breakfast?
Not today, truthfully, but normally, yes, I like Cocoa Pops.
You have Cocoa Pops for breakfast. What adult has Cocoa Pops for breakfast?
An adult that buys her own groceries.
Cocoa Pops?
You look disgusted.
And for lunch, she had fairy bread.
Oh, I love fairy bread, but the one with the sprinkles, not with the hundreds and thousands, because they're too crunchy.
Right.
Anyway, sorry, you were running.
Then I jump in the car later at 9 o'clock. I had gym, so yeah. I'm heading off to the gym, and I'm in the car, and I'm going, oh, this car reeks. Like there's something in the car that smells like really bad.
Yeah.
And then I'm looking for what it was, and I haven't had food or anything in the car, and I couldn't work out what where it was coming from. And then I realized where the smell was coming from. It was me.
Oh,
I was still in my running clothes.
Oh.
Have you ever been offended by your? Have you ever been offended by your own BO?
Well, before you got in here today, I said to Brixie, sorry, mate, do you mind if I put deodorant on? He said, have you got some? I went, yeah, I'm good. So that's both of us today, mate.
Disgusting.
It's awful, isn't it? It's
just disgusting.
Or your own fart. Have you ever been offended by it? No, me either.
She's an animal. She's an animal. Hey, coming up on the show this afternoon, you're going to hear our Wednesday whinge. We've had a Facebook hack go on here at the radio station, which is pretty funny. Pamela Anderson's getting married again. My little girl's going off to boarding school, which is,
That's a lovely story, though.
Is it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Our teenagers, they're not getting any action.
Nothing. They're getting less than their parents, which is worrying.
I'm glad that our teenagers aren't getting any action.
It's kind of a bit grubby, isn't it?
I mean, I definitely got less action than my parents.
Nobody wants to know how much their parents are getting, though.
Okay, my bedroom in the house I grew up in, 24 Daru Avenue, Runaway Bay. Yeah. If you still own that house, fumigate it, right? That would be my... because
plenty of action?
Not from me. Nothing going on in my bedroom. But my bedroom was directly underneath my parents' bedroom. I could hear my parents going for it.
Oh, no! Oh, no. Oh, that's my worst nightmare as a parent.
I could hear...
Is that part of your therapy now, Luke?
Have I ever told you guys the story about... catching my parents in the act?
Oh, no.
Have I told this story?
Oh, no, tell me. I've never heard it.
Okay, I'm about, I reckon, 8 or 9 years of age, and we're on the boat. We got a boat, right? And we're off Fraser Island, and the boat is parked about 80 metres off the shore. It was a fair swim. And we got a little rowing dinghy that you could go into the beach with, right? Onto Fraser Island. But we're camping on the boat. And there's five of us in the family, mum, dad, Petta, my sister, and my brother and I. And mum and dad, you know, looking back at it now, it's so obvious, but it was innocent enough to us at the time. Dad says to us, he goes, listen, your mother and I are going for a walk on Fraser Island.
I love the voice.
Now, you do not leave the boat. You don't follow us. And whatever you do, don't swim in and come and find us. We're going for a walk on the beach, right?
Right, so he was definitely telling you the plan.
So we're like, right, oh, mum and dad are going for a walk. Little did, you know, we're not exactly detectives at that age, because if we had any detective sort of skills at all, we'd go, our parents are the least fit Australians in the country. They've never walked a day in their life.
So they were leaving
two 9-year-old boys and a 10-year-old girl alone on a boat. Okay. Following that,
Yeah, you're leaving. Look at that.
They must have won some.
Where my abandonment issues come from. So they leave us on the boat. They row into shore. My sister's a bit of a nerd, you know. She's a year older than us, and she abides by the rules. But Ashley and I, straight up, we're like, let's swim into shore.
You little buggers.
Let's swim into shore and Rambo up and see what mum and dad are doing. Let's go and follow them, right? Oh, that's a great idea. Wouldn't know which one of us geniuses came up with that idea. Both of us are on board. We jump overboard. We swim in through the shark-infested waters and get up onto Fraser Island, follow their footprints, right? Follow their footprints. And there's Dad, chock-a-block up, Mum. Right? Honestly, I still remember the image.
Oh God!
I know what position. I know what position they were in.
Oh no!
So we see it, and we just know what we're looking at is wrong, right? And we know now why Dad told us to stay on the boat. We race back to the boat, swim back to the boat, right? Get back on the boat, and we're scarred. And my sister's like, you guys all right? And we're like, can't even talk.
Picnic and Hanging Rock style. Oh, my God.
A little later, not that much later, Mum and Dad come back to the boat, okay? And they start talking. And I remember this vividly. Dad goes, yeah, Mum and I went for a walk before. And Ashley says, and that's not all you did. That's what he says. That's not all you did. Oh, it was repulsive. It was so repulsive. Sorry. You find it funny. You never caught your parents going for it?
No.
You never did?
No. When my parents separated, I was staying with my dad and I woke up in the middle of the night and he was saying hello to a woman at the front door. I'm like, that's weird. I wonder what she needs. And then in the morning, I waited and waited and waited to see if she would stay the night because I'd never seen her before and she left at dawn. Right. So, but I never heard anything. I just saw her come and go. But
you're lucky.
No one was chock-a-block up my mum. So.
She mustn't have met Dad. He was chock-a-block up more than my mum.
I'm sorry.
He was. Well, I mean, he swung it around like a Great Dane in the park. He really did. My dad tells me war stories now, like, and I'm just like, who are you? And how come none of that rubbed off on me?
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
He used it a lot.
Like, when I tell you that I've got an identical twin brother and I've got one sister, they're the ones I know of. There's got to be more. There's got to be. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Oh, my God. My dad was a horn dog too, not as bad as your dad, though, but I've got a friend that looks like my dad.
Right.
And I was about 23, and I asked if that was my sister, because my dad had a bit of a thing, but I reckon our old man's a get-on just fine. Oh,
anyway, I don't remember how we got into that story, but kind of wish we had not. the Australian Open's on. We'll have some fun with some of the tennis names. There's a dude on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. He's having trouble pronouncing a name. We'll hear from that and a whole heap more. If you listen to this, it's the catch-up, and it's starting right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
The Barty Party continues in Melbourne. Just won through to her third round match in the Australian Open. How about this? There's a girl in the Australian Open. She's from America. Coco Gauff, her name is, and she's 15 years of age, and she's just won through to the third round.
They're calling her the Giant Slayer. Just she's amazing.
At 15 years of age, I was walking around home bumping into furniture.
Scratching your bum and bumping into things. That's what we're all doing, mate.
And she's winning through to the third round of the Australian Open. Just incredible. Good on her. And Nick Kyrgios winning last night too, which was pretty awesome. We'll talk about that a little later. Right now, being a Wednesday, let's do this.
Because it feels good to let it out. It's the Rush Hour's Wednesday Whinge.
Anything you want to get off your chest, Gold Coast, now is the time. Our number is 132710. Got a cool prize to fling the way of whoever has the most legitimate whinge for us this afternoon. So hit the phones, 132710. What about you, Jade?
Mate, I've almost got a double bunger here. I was going to go with something that I saw on the M1, which ticked me off no end. But I've just heard the new Pearl Jam song, brand new, waited for it to drop, super excited. It's a dead set dud.
Is it?
It's terrible.
You don't like it, eh?
I don't think anybody will like it. Even Pearl Jam fans. I rate myself as a Pearl Jam fan. It was a complete waste of time.
Oh, well, we'll be playing it later.
It's crummy, guys. So if you've been waiting for it to drop like I have, I think you'll be disappointed.
I said I wanted to have a crack at vegans, and I actually don't want to have a go at vegans.
Go on, softy.
No, I'm not soft at all. I've been saying it for ages. I respect vegans. I wish I was disciplined enough to be able to join you because I love animals so much. But this veganism craze, which is just running so rife across the Gold Coast at the moment, is starting to seep into everyone else's lives. Here's an example. I went yesterday to Woolies and they're selling butter chicken. And it was just one of those microwave dishes. And I was hungry and I needed something for lunch. And they said they have butter chicken there. Now, what would you think a core ingredient of butter chicken would include?
Chicken?
Chicken. Okay. I buy it. I'm on my way back here to the radio station and the massive packet, it says butter chicken.
Yeah.
In tiny little writing, it says this is a vegan dish that only includes plant-based chicken.
No, that's... So it didn't even say, will taste like butter chicken
It says butter chicken. Oh, it's not
that's
butter
terrible.
Chicken. You know what plant-based chicken is?
Plants?
It's not chicken. So I'm not having to go at the vegans. I'm having to go at the restaurants and the Woolies of the world. Label correctly.
That's terrible. I'd be so bummed. Did it taste like... Did you taste it? Did you eat it?
Jade, I chucked it straight in the bin.
On principle. I'm not eating chickenless butter chicken.
Went to Guzman Gomez. Okay, that's our go. What do you want to whinge about?
Greg from Mermaid Waters. What's got under your skin, mate?
Yes, I rang yesterday. I made an order at a very well-known pizza restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was 2-for-1 Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I made my order for 2-for-1, but when the order comes through, I only had one pizza. So it had a number underneath that you ring to if you have any problems. So I rang this number, and in saying this, I only live a kilometre from the pizza place, but it took me ages to get through. And when I got through, I got into someone who couldn't understand what I was talking about, and I said, oh, I want to find out what's happening with my 2-for-1 pizza. And I said, where am I talking to? And they said, we're in the Philippines.
Well, a lot of good that is for your pizza delivery problems, Greg.
So then she said, we'll just put you through to the shop. And then they put me through to someone else in the Philippines as well.
Hey, good news, Greg. When you go to the Philippines, mate,
they'll have your pizza.
There's a pizza waiting for you. Let's go to Juanita from Arundel. Juanita, what do you want to whinge about?
People and their driving habits.
Go on, tell us what's happened.
Oh, on a daily basis, people are continually doing 40 and a 60 in a one lane each way. You can't go around them. They up your backside all the time. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
I was on the M1 today and there was an Audi with an L plater in the right-hand lane doing about 70 k's an hour.
Yep, and this is why they're trying to get people to do 100 hours of driving and most of it with a driving instructor.
Good on you, mate.
Drive.
Appreciate the whinge, Juanita. Hope you have a good day.
Hey, thanks for your call, Juanita. Let's take one more. Tony from Ashmore's called through. World's most noisiest phone. Yeah, what did you want to say? Oh, you've got something to say about vegans too?
Yeah, like I live with one. She won't cover her dog food tins with plastic. She doesn't want to use the glad wrap because the whole not good for the environment. And then she packs it, everything goes in the fridge and nothing gets covered with anything. And it's so annoying because everything goes through everything when you don't cover it with glad wrap. But she'll go and she'll buy already pre-packaged fruit from Woolies. Like, comes in a plastic container and then it's in a plastic bag. And I go, well, what's the difference? Like, look at all that waste there. And then she just walks away and ignores me after I've said it.
In my limited experience, Tony, never get into an argument with a vegan. You will not win.
Good on you, Tony. Thanks for the call. You got to cover your stuff, though, don't you? Otherwise, your nut cheese will end up tasting like your nut butter chicken.
We might just leave it there.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
There's been shenanigans happening around Triple M Studios here today, around the office. If anyone ever leaves their email open,
right,
someone usually hops on and hacks it and starts sending... random emails out on behalf of the person that left their email.
I have not been privy to the shenanigans, so you'll have to tell me what's happened.
Well, there was a good one today because we've got the best radio receptionist anywhere in the country.
Oh, Sammy, she's fabulous.
Working here at Triple M, and she's awesome. But yeah. She calls a spade a bloody shovel. And she doesn't take it from anybody, Sammy.
Yeah.
Like, she's awesome with our listeners, but she doesn't take any crap from anybody.
No, she's tops.
And so... what happened was AV, who is in charge of all the music here, yep. AV left his email open, and El Dobie, who's on air just before we are, got into AV's email and said, oh, I'm going to send some emails out to some people. So he sends an email to Sammy on behalf of AV.
Right.
And this is what it says. I'll read it for you verbatim. It says, hey, Toots, I left my lunch at home. I'm feeling a bit peckish. Could you whip me up something in the kitchen? Cheers, AV, right? And Elle sends it on behalf of AV to Sammy, who, can I remind you, is feisty.
Feisty might be an understatement.
So Sammy's not only... Look, there's plenty of us around here at Triple M who look busy, but we're not that busy,
right.
You know?
Yeah,
Sammy's not one of them. She's got a lot of work to do.
Flat out.
And making AV's lunch is not on her... resume,
to-do list, that's right.
It's pretty low on her priority. So she fires off an email and it only has two words on it, and one of them is get. Okay? And then AV learns of it and he's scared of Sammy. So he rings Sammy and he says, Sammy, and before he can get out, my email was hacked. Sammy starts giving him a mouthful. I'm not in charge of your lunch. I'm not making you lunch. Go downstairs and buy your lunch. It wasn't me, Sammy. El Dobie hacked my email. Oh, God, I laughed. I love it when people hack other people's email or Facebook or whatever. It's hilarious.
That's so bad.
Has anyone ever done it to you, Jade? Have you ever been stung?
Oh, someone changed the screensaver on my phone. Jamie Dunn, that I used to work with, who is Aggro, you know, Aggro yeah. the puppet. I left my phone open in the studio one day and he's changed my screensaver and everything on my phone. So every time I turned it on, I looked at his ugly, wonderful mug. So, but no, not hacked. I mean, that's a ripper of a story.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Is it Auto-Tune ad? The one that Warwick Capper and
Ultra-Tune.
Ultra-Tune.
Yes.
Hey, it's not cutting through with me, obviously. The one that was shot here on the Gold Coast with Pamela Anderson and Warwick Capper. It just came up on the TV in the middle of the tennis. And it's good to see an ad that's actually shot here on the coast.
Yeah, and he's a local identity. It was funny to see Capper, and he's being who he really is too. Bit of a larrikin.
He's getting revived by Pamela Anderson. But there's some Pamela Anderson goss that's broken this afternoon.
Yeah, and news just happening overnight. In fact, she just got married for the fifth time.
Wow.
It was a secret wedding. She's married a guy called John Peters, who's 22 years older than she is.
Right.
So and
who do you used to be married to?
Barbara Streisand. It's a bit of a difference. Hey, imagine going from the schnoz to Pammy Anderson.
What, you're saying it's an upgrade, is it?
I'm saying there's a difference. They're just very different
individuals. Give him a round of applause, Brixie. Give this guy, I don't know the dude, but...
Oh, come on. She's got terrible taste in men. She's got Tommy Lee, Kid Rock, Rick Solomon, the Grub, twice.
So this guy's in his 70s. And
74.
He's pulled Pamela Anderson. Good on him.
Maybe she's got him because he's harmless.
Five times she's been married. That's amazing. I don't know anyone that's been married five times.
Don't you reckon after like one or two, you might just pull the pin and go, nah, not doing it again. Not committing.
I wonder who the most married person here on the Gold Coast is. We should open the phones for that.
Yeah.
Like, who's got the record for the most amount of marriages on the Gold Coast? Because we've got some characters in this town.
Yeah, fess up to it.
Okay, if you think you got a shot at the title, the most married person here on the coast, if you think you can beat Pamela, oh, hang on a sec. Wayne from Highland Park has just called through. 132710's our number. How many times have you been married, mate?
Four times.
Four.
Wayne, what were you thinking? Talk me through it. How do you decide four times to get married? You're a sucker for punishment.
Well, you're not wrong there. I can give you an honest, there will never be a fifth one.
Yeah, but I bet you said that after. There'll never be a third. There'll never be a fourth. Now he's saying there'll never be a fifth. Hey, are you still married, Wayne?
No.
No.
Are you seeing anybody?
Yes.
And do they want to get married?
Don't care.
Good on you, mate.
Hey, I'll tell you what, that attitude, there probably won't be a fifth.
Yeah, that's right.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Need your hand here, Jade. You got how many kids?
Four.
Four kids. I only got one. I got my little girl, Coralie. And I can't believe it, but she's actually heading off to boarding school this year.
Wow, that's a mammoth step. Is she excited? Are you nervous?
I'm excited, I guess. Yeah, nervous, but so is she. She's yeah. never done anything like this before. It's a different school, different state, and it's a pretty remarkable school, actually. They do things whereby at this school, it's not technology-based. So the only way that she can communicate with Kathy or myself yeah. is via letters. You can't. There's no telephones. There's no internet. So there's no email, no telephones, and no Instagram or any of that sort of stuff. It's a really old school, if you know what I mean.
I love that so much.
And so we're going to be back into old-fashioned letter writing, which is almost a lost art these days.
But it's beautiful. That's so special.
I think it is too. So I had an idea. Actually, my girlfriend helped me with it as well. She said, you know what we should do? We should do like a scrapbook of photographs for Coralie of all photographs from over the years, and she can look back through, and you know, when she's feeling homesick, etc., she can look back through the scrapbook and see the photos and write something about every photograph for
right.
her.
Right, beautiful.
So it's been like a little homework project that I've been on for the last week or so, and I spent a bit of time on the weekend with it, and I'm about halfway through it at the moment, because you've got to write about every photograph.
It'd be really emotional for you too.
It really is.
Yeah, I bet. I
cried. I'll be honest with you, I cried more than once doing it.
Aww.
Because you see, your little girl's not your little girl anymore. Like yeah. she always will be, but there's like tiny photos of her being 3 years of age, and just you know, so many memories, and just you know, you just want to hold her forever, but yeah. you can't. And she's going off to cool. grow,
yeah.
you know, in a different state. And anyway, I was doing all of this, and I was really looking forward to giving it to her. And I went over to Kathy's place and on Sunday. And Coralie's all excited. She goes, Dad, let me show you something. She goes, have a look at what Kyra, that's her friend. She yeah. goes, have a look at what Kyra has done for me. She hands me a scrapbook. Oh. It's the exact same idea.
Oh.
Kyra's already done it,
oh.
except it's way better than the
oh,
one I'm
no.
doing. It's way better.
She's beaten you to the punch.
It's a better scrapbook. It's been done way more professionally.
Oh.
And where I've just written in biro with spelling and grammatical errors, like Kyra's like way smarter than me. Hers is all perfect. And she's like, isn't this a great idea?
Oh.
Isn't Kyra a good friend?
She
and I'm
is
like,
a good
she
friend.
She is a good friend.
Yes.
But now here's my question for you. I now feel like if I give it to her, I now feel like I'm going to be copying. Like like I've ripped off Kyra's idea. However, I swear to God, I started mine before I knew what Kyra had done.
But if Coralie knows, and of course she does, she's your baby girl, she will know that this was ages in the making. This is not the sort of thing you can just pull out overnight. Just give it to her from your heart.
Mm.
I think that she will love it. And there will be photos in there, obviously, that Kyra didn't have access to, parts of her growing up that you and her mum shared with her. Mm. I just think that's a beautiful thing. You got to give it to her.
Yeah.
Do it. I think it's so lovely. I think
that's
lovely
Kyra.
To know that about you.
I love
you.
Kyra. She's a great kid.
Yeah.
Mate, yeah, Coralie's best friend. But under my breath, I was going, bloody Kyra.
Get stuff, Kyra.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Interesting article in the paper today with regards to our teenagers here on the Gold Coast. And they reckon that our teenagers are getting 50% less action than their parents. And the reason that they're putting it down to why our teenagers aren't as frisky as the adults here on the coast is the social media age that we live in, and the fact that teenagers these days have trouble conversing with one another because all they're used to is either flicking left or right or sending text messages, but they're incapable of holding a conversation.
There's probably lots of flicking going on, but I find it interesting to think that there's even a comparison between the teens and their parents, because I would have thought these days it'd be so much easier to pick up or to meet people, let's say meet people in general, because of the internet.
I know that I spoke to a top level Australian radio executive, and he told me, he said, mate, storytelling is becoming a lost art in young radio broadcasters because, and he put it down to this, he told me this 4 or 5 years ago, he said, because of texting, because most people just text these days and communicate via that method, he says people can't tell, these young people are incapable of telling a story. The storytelling art is a lost form, and here we are now seeing it translate to people not being able to connect other than in a physical sense because they're incapable of holding a conversation. Well, I think there's truth in it.
I think it absolutely there's truth in it. One time I got served at a fast food restaurant, and I went through the whole process, and the girl, she would have been about 16, 17, didn't open her mouth. I literally went to the counter, placed my order. She put her hand out. I gave her the money, and that's it. She put the food on a tray and slid it across to me.
You should have texted your
order. No, you've got to go punch it in.
She'd have texted you back a thumbs up emoji.
Or a poo emoji.
Okay. Now, I'm with you, though. So I missed out on the digital age with regards to dating. I've never been on any dating website or anything like that. But I would have thought that I sometimes am envious that in my earlier days when I was single and a teenager going out to the nightclubs and all that sort of stuff, I had no luck with the ladies. Like I had zero action going on when I was a teenager.
Real? Did you have any good lines? Could you go and speak to girls?
Well, obviously not, but what happened for me was I always went, gee, if Tinder and all that sort of stuff had been around when I was younger, I felt like I may have. Well, definitely. I feel like I may have stood a chance of at least getting some action. I had zero, Jade. No girl was interested in me. And then I felt like if I could have sat there and just chucked enough bait in the ocean, someone may have taken a hook. You know? But,
like, put enough burley out, you reckon someone's going to pick up.
So I've always been envious of the current young people because it's dating seems like it would be an easier proposition than what I had to do was actually go out with some game and talk to people and then be able to try and connect in that way. And here's the question that we want answered this afternoon is if you've been a part of both ages, what's easier? Is it easier dating old school before the digital and social media, or is it easier dating now that there is social media and you've got these apps and Tinder and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, so where you can just swipe right to meet somebody who might be like-minded, or back in the old days where you had to go and hold a conversation to pick someone up. Lee from Runaway Bay has done just that. Lee, what do you reckon? Is it easier with Tinder?
Well, look, I actually don't have to use Tinder because I've been in a long-term relationship. But I will say that back in the day, I could hook up anywhere, any day, any time.
Lee, did you ring up to weigh in on this or just to brag?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Like, I've been listening to you guys. I'm absolutely getting this. It's awesome. You rock. But, I mean, this all this techno stuff is just really funky for me. And I have girlfriends that are out there doing it and everything. And I'm like, wow, swipe and I swipe for them. But, I don't know what it would be like these days, but no, back in the day,
poof. Look at her, mate. See, she looks back at the good old days with fond memories.
Yeah.
Not me. I look back with no memories. Hey, we're going to go to Bob. Bob from Palm Beach. Mate, what are you saying about this?
It's heaps easier, man. You can see what you're getting.
Try before you buy, you reckon,
look
Bob?
Look at this charming personality. Hey, ladies, he could be all yours. Just swipe left.
No, man, I'm already taken.
Right.
You go all right on Tinder, Bob?
Yeah, I didn't actually use Tinder, but, I had a crack.
How did you meet the ladies, mate?
Oh, it was one of those online sites.
And so, mate, you did all right out of it, did you? So they're not judging you, obviously, on your personality because, they haven't really met you. They're just going by your looks, but you did okay.
Yeah, they must have thought I was a smooth customer or something.
Good on you, Bob.
That you are, Bob. No doubt about it.
Daniel from Rubino, how'd you go on the dating site, mate? You reckon it's easier now or then?
Oh, I actually think it's easier then. I've dabbled in both eras.
Yeah.
And look, back then, I mean, it's easier now compared to back then, in the sense that back then, as Luke said, you had to have a bit of game, you had to go out and you had to talk to people, make an introduction.
Yeah.
But if once you made the introduction, and and I'm sure this works both ways for male and female, that introduction sticks and then you've got a connection. Whereas with online dating, sure, like you don't have to leave your living room, but you know, you're probably one of 20 people that have kissed that girl that night. So you've really got your window. And if you don't take it, you know, advantage of that window, you leave it now, a bang, the next guy's messaging. So you're like on a carousel, mate. So
yeah, right, on a carousel.
It's probably harder in that sense, yeah.
But Daniel, don't you reckon Tinder's a bit of a trap? Because sometimes someone can look awesome, but then when you meet them, they're a dud. A guy I had a crush on for the longest time was as hot as a fox and dumb as rocks.
Yeah, no, I did apologise about that. Sorry.
Hey, rock on, brother.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Now, I've got a reason to believe as Gold Coasters we should be feeling ripped off with regards to the new marketing campaign from the NRL. We'll get into that for you before 6 o'clock this evening, but I watched Nick Kyrgios last night, Jade.
And it's fair to say that you're a Nick Kyrgios fan, which surprises me a little bit.
I love Nick Kyrgios. Like, he is my favourite tennis player. By so far, daylight is second. I would much rather watch Kyrgios play than any other tennis player. And I'm not hopping on the Kyrgios bandwagon. Yeah. Any regular listener to the show will know I've been saying this for
a long time.
Yeah, well over 18 months. I like the guy because he's interesting and entertaining, and that's what tennis is. He's a fun guy to watch, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, but do you think he's a bit of a turd as well? Like a bit of a, like he's.
I really believe he's redeemed himself, particularly in the wake of the bushfires and the fact that he led the charge on behalf of Australian sports people, let alone Australian tennis players. He led the charge on behalf of Australian sports people to roll up his sleeve and work out what he could do. And as a result, they raised over $6 million.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
You know, and I think that has turned the tide.
Yeah.
And more Australians now who even a month ago may have said, oh, Nick Kyrgios, nah, I can't handle him.
Yes.
Are now finding themselves being Nick Kyrgios fans. Like, it wasn't that long ago when Nick Kyrgios played you know, an overseas tennis player, even as an Australian, Australians were cheering against the Australian player. And
absolutely.
You know, are you one of those?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan at all. And I think Nadal said it best. He said last year that he lacks respect for the public, the rival, and himself. And I was like, that is a great summation of why people don't like Kyrgios.
And I understand why people don't like him, but for the most part, I just go, he's different. He's not a robot. You know, as much as I totally respect the Rafas and Nadals of, Federers of the world, Djokovics and those sort of guys. Yeah. They're unbelievable athletes and so talented. They're boring. They're robots. And they're never going to do anything outrageous. And that's what I love about Kyrgios.
Do you generally like a bad boy, though?
Yeah, probably. I like people that have got a bit of rock and roll about him.
Yeah. A bit of hardcore.
He's got it in spades.
Yeah.
But anyway, last night after he won through to the second round of the Australian Open, he caught up with another tennis bad boy, John McEnroe. And McEnroe told him that he respected him. And have a listen.
Can I tell you just from afar, you know, watching from the States, that the way you led the way for the bushfire relief thing and everything you've done, I gotta tell you, well done, man. Absolutely outstanding effort, and I know a lot of people share the same view, but I just wanted to tell you personally that I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that. You're gonna make me tear up again.
That was lovely.
Incredible,
yes.
Anime.
Yeah, that was a really lovely moment, actually.
We've chuffed it over on our Gold 92.5 Triple M Facebook page. We want to know what you think of Nick Kyrgios. We're going to run a Gold Coast poll. It's going to be open for the next 24 hours.
Love him or loathe him.
We'll give the results tomorrow on the show. But I think, because I know last time we did this, it was over 90% of Gold Coasters went, I can't stand him, he's a tool.
Yeah.
I reckon it might be the other way.
You reckon the tides have turned?
I truly think it has.
But interesting.
It'd be very interesting to know your thoughts on it. Go to our Gold 92.5 Triple M Facebook page. Have your say.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
You watch any of the Oz Open at all? Been getting into it?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. Just bits and pieces of it. I'm not really into it, mate.
But there's a controversy with regards to one of the athletes, a French tennis player, and a ball boy.
Yeah, ball girl. Is this with the banana?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he goes, can you open my banana? Like, I just thought that was really daft. Can you open my banana? He's one of the, you know, best tennis players in the world. Can't open a banana.
He got the dentist. He tried to get the ball girl to open the banana for him.
Yeah.
Peel the banana.
And the ump got up him and said, come on, mate, you can do it yourself. But it's been pointed out to me since that apparently he's got a busted hand and has tape on and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, Carl Stefanovic gave him a hard time on the Today Show this morning. But the dude's hands were, mind you, if he can play a game of tennis, see? He can peel a banana.
Yeah, I agree.
I love it because there's so many names there which are just pretty well impronounceable.
Like, it must be mandatory. Honestly, it must be mandatory for tennis players to have these bizarre names.
I love it when you get commentators and it's the same player, but they're both pronouncing the name differently.
It's great.
Tune in for that. It happens quite often.
It does with rugby league as well. I think that's just commentators crap at names.
It is quite incredible. But some of those names, if you look at them, you just go, I got no idea how to pronounce this one.
But even something like Djokovic, even that, like, that's a short name, and trying to spell that is terrible too.
Well, most of the dudes, their name ends in VIC.
Right.
Most of the guys and most of the girls from those Eastern European countries, it ends in OVA.
Okay.
And it's a guy-girl thing. Like, if you're a brother and sister from the same country and the same family,
yes,
you'll have different surnames. Because the dude will have Vic at the end of his name, Novak Djokovic. And if he had a sister, it would end in over, like Maria Sharapova. No dudes end in over and no chicks end in Vic.
Hand on heart, I did not know that. I swear to God.
I only knew that from a couple of years ago. But that's why, you'll notice it now. Like, most of the dudes from those countries will end, it doesn't work in reverse. No dudes are overs and no girls are Vics. You get different surnames even though you're from the same family.
Mind blown.
It's a gender thing. But imagine being like just in Melbourne at the moment and dealing with those names on a daily basis. They'd have to get used to it. I reckon even ordering a pizza could be difficult.
Cheers.
Hey, can I just want to order a pizza, please?
Yeah, certainly. What sort would you like?
Just one with the lot. Can I just give you my name?
Yep.
Okay, just write it down. It'd be the easiest way. It's P
R
N G I K T.
Yep.
30 VIC.
PRNGIKP 30 VIC.
Yeah. Can you just pronounce it?
Nope.
Just put it under my first name then, Leighton.
Okay, no worries. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Totally addicted to I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, really?
Oh, I love it. It's so funny.
Oh, you're the one watching that show.
I think it's really funny.
Right.
But anyway.
I think it's cruel to animals, but I've already banged on about that. It's cruel to animals. And how dare...
Go on.
Dr. Chris.
Yeah.
Pretend to care about animals when he fronts a show which is blatantly cruel to animals. And yeah, they're only worms and they're cockroaches and they're frogs and toads and stuff, but they're still animals and they torture those animals. And I think it's disgusting that a vet of all people fronts that show.
It was worse last year when they had to eat said animals while they were still alive. So anyway, this year they've taken a step back. However, I find it entertaining, right? But last night I was watching and they were all talking, you know, Miguel, the chef, he's really funny and I like him.
Do they run subtitles for
him? They do. And I swear to God. And
joking.
He found out last night that they ran subtitles for him and he was a bit offended because they've got an intruder in now and they told him. And he was a bit offended.
I was joking.
No, they do.
I mean, he is hard to understand. But if you're going to run subtitles for him, if Channel 10's going to run subtitles for Miguel, is it Miguel?
Miguel, yeah.
While he's on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, they've got to run subtitles for him while he's on every show. Well, and they don't.
Yeah, but it's not just him. Like, everybody has their own little quirks on the show. In fact, last night, the girl that I really do like, that Charlotte from Geordie Shore, do you know her?
No.
Okay. Well, she's this huge UK celebrity,
right.
And she's a real funny little bugger. But she was talking about Miguel's cooking because he was making this ostrich egg omelette, but she didn't really think that it was, you know, interesting enough. She wanted to add something else. Have a listen.
Do you know what I'd love? Some jalapenos.
Oh, jalapenos.
Why have you got a J in then?
That's how you say it in Tijuana.
I think it sounds better, jalapeno.
Jalapenos. Jalapenos.
She wasn't even kidding, though.
What's the British version of bogan? What's that?
What is the word for that? I can't even think of that.
I love it. What is it?
It's a shav.
A shav, is it? She's a shav.
I thought she was gold last night, the poor bugger.
I love it when people piss pronounce words.
Piss pronounce. You idiot. I got another one. Okay, I love when people mispronounce words. Avril Lavigne was at an awards show. She had a go at saying someone's famous's name.
The nominees are David Bowie for Slow Burn.
Wouldn't you think in the music industry she would know it was David Bowie?
Some people did call him Bowie.
Oh, come on. No one calls him David Bowie.
They wanted to be different.
Well, they're different, all right. What about Donald Trump?
The latest act of resistance is the op-ed published in the failing New York Times by an anonymous, really an anonymous, gutless coward.
Anonymous. Never got there in the end. And just finally, my favourite of all, Demi Lovato. It wasn't quite mispronunciation, more of a misunderstanding. She was asked if she had a favourite dish.
My favourite dish? I like mugs because they're very comfortable in your hand and they hold hot things that you don't have to touch. So, coffee or hot tea.
She doesn't like dishes. She just likes mugs.
What's my favourite colour? Oh, sweet and sour pork.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Tell me if you think we've been ripped off or we should be angry here as Gold Coast Titans fans on the Gold Coast, Jade, because the NRL have just released their marketing ad for season 2020. And they've gone back to the future. They've gone to Tina Turner.
Which is a ripper of a song. Let's be honest. I think it's a song that stands out most in the heads of NRL fans. I think that's a ripper. I like that.
Here's a little bit of the 2020 ad that's just been released across the nation.
The faithful. They're here in their thousands.
You see Tina. You see Rabs. You see the Brisbane Broncos.
Yeah.
You see the Sydney Roosters.
Yep.
You see GI. You know what you don't see?
What's that?
Not one single Gold Coast Titans.
What?
The Titans are not in the new TV ad.
At all?
At all. There's not a Gold Coast Titan in it.
Oh, that's a rip-off. That's dreadful.
Like, should we care about that?
Yes. But,
like, if you're the NRL, just to stop people whinging, wouldn't you make sure all clubs are featured?
You'd think that would be common sense.
Now, I've witnessed it for myself. I've watched the ad, I think, three times now. I've not seen a Gold Coast Titan.
I haven't seen it at all.
It's there's no Titan in it. They've gone about doing it and put, I guess, every other club, but no Gold Coast Titans.
You know what happens, though? You hear people whinge all the time that, like, Sydney gets ultimate coverage of anything football-related.
Mm.
And, you know, Queensland's a dumb second, but this is next level. No Titans at all is terrible.
No Gold Coast Titans. It must be an ad just for September in the NRL. Maybe that's what it is.
Oh, that's too harsh, hey? Come
boo
on.
Boo me. Hey, anyway, we're racking off out of here. Thanks for your company this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow afternoon from 3 for your local drive home. Cop you then.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.